I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
It's Thursday, November 10th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 19, the Word of God says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Now here we have a long passage about two people, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and Paul is wanting to send both to the church of Philippi. Now Timothy is Paul's protege who emulates Christ in the way he is concerned for the Philippians' well-being. Epaphroditus is another example of genuine Christian love, and he's from Philippi and is deeply concerned for them also. In verse 30, Paul says that Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ. And this is written by Paul, a man who was in prison for the work of Christ and who would eventually himself die for the work of Christ. And if we're not careful, we can mentally isolate this kind of persecution to the early Christians, thinking that persecution just happened to them and doesn't really happen anymore. Now, there's a true story of a small village in India, and in this village there was this family that came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This agitated the village so much that everybody came together and this angry mob gathered and shoved them into the public square. The village chief confronted them, and he said to the man, if you and your family will not recant your faith, you all will surely die. The man didn't know what to say or what to do. So the only thing that came to mind were the words of a song that he himself had composed when he had first surrendered his life to God. So he began to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And with that, his children were killed in front of him. He was given another chance. This time, it was his wife's life which was on the line. And yet he continued to sing, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And after her tragic death, he was given one final opportunity, and this time it was to save himself. Yet he continued to sing, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. And even though that man and his family died on that day, something remarkable happened. A seed was planted in the heart of that village chief, a seed that began to grow over time, and eventually he called the community together, and in that very same neighborhood, in that very same square, he renounced his former faith and declared his allegiance to Jesus Christ. A celebration broke out in that moment, and the gospel began to flourish and to grow in that community, not just in that village, but across that whole region, because they had seen real faith, and they knew the true character of God because of a family who believed and sacrificed even under the penalty of death. According to the World Evangelical Alliance, over 200 million Christians in at least 60 countries are denied fundamental human rights solely because of their faith. In 2009, there was a report in the International Bulletin of Missionaries Research. It is estimated that approximately 176,000 Christians were martyred from mid-2008 to mid-2009. It goes on to say if the current trends continue, it's estimated that by 2025, the year 2025, an average of 210,000 Christians will be martyred every single year. And this doesn't include the people like Epaphroditus who are risking their life in the face of severe illness just to continue their work in the gospel. So let's do two things. Number one, let us take risks for the sake of the gospel. Let's be more concerned with the gospel advancing than our safety, our health, and living comfortable lives. And number two, let's pray. Let's pray for the persecuted church. This Sunday, November 13th, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. This is a global day of prayer and intercession for persecuted Christians worldwide. We will unite in prayer on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of Christ followers around the world who share our faith, but not our freedom. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." Let us pray. Let us take risks for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters around the globe. And in doing these things, we will make much of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily. The
cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back.